I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. Gary Mason, a columnist with the Globe and Mail, joins me now. We'll talk about the current provincial election and referendum campaign. He began his career covering Terry Fox for Canadian Press. Then he worked at the Victoria Times Colonist for a while before spending nearly 20 years at the Vancouver Sun, culminating as the paper's popular sports columnist. He joined the Globe and Mail in 2005 as a columnist there. He's won a couple Jack Webster Awards and has written a number of best-selling books. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Gary Mason. Good morning, Mr. Mason.
Good morning, Joe. Pleasure to be here.
Thanks for joining us. When you left the Sun, that was pretty big news. Why did you join the Globe and Mail?
Well, I had been a sports columnist for about 7 years after doing various other jobs at the newspaper. I was kind of looking for something else to do. I'd done it long enough, and I really enjoyed it. And then the Globe came along. It was very fortuitous. They came along and kind of made this offer to me to write a national column based in Vancouver. And I was a little bit shocked, to be honest with you, because I had been writing a sports column, not a news column. So, but Ed Greenspan knew that I had had a background in politics and news. So anyway, it was just it was an offer that was too good to refuse, as they say.
And they've really built the paper to sort of cater to BC. And I mean, I talked to someone at the Sun not so long ago, and they said that you know, it's a real competitor to them, isn't it?
Oh, I think so. I mean, BC is the only province where the Globe has a sort of its own section for the province, and I think we do a lot in three pages. We cover the major news, and we've got, I mean, the staff of reporters and photographers and everything that we have out here is just extraordinary. I mean, they're like the best of the best, and I think it shows. And the latest NADBank numbers that have come out showed that in last year, Globe readership in British Columbia was up 14%, which is an astounding number. I mean, you don't really see readership numbers jump that high. But I think it's really a testament to the work that we do, and I think we're starting to get, you know, a lot of recognition for that work too, winning awards and getting mentioned on the radio a lot, and breaking a lot of big stories.
Now, you write a column there. Does your column appear nationally?
Yes, it does. It appears in the A section outside of British Columbia, and in British Columbia, of course, it appears on the front of the British Columbia section.
Now, you mentioned that you'd written the sports column at the Sun. Did you miss covering politics?
I did, I think. I mean, politics is my first love. That's kind of why I got into the business to begin with. I mean, I'm a child of the Watergate era, and I think, like a lot of journalists, I was inspired to get into this business because of Watergate. And I was a student of politics, American politics, and Canadian politics, and I always wanted to cover politics, and I always dreamed of one day being able to write a column that you know, allowed me to offer my opinions on political issues. And so I'm kind of living my dream right now, to be honest with you.
How many campaigns has this been for you here in BC?
Well, gosh, I mean, other than the 7 years that I was covering sports, I missed a few, you know, I guess that would have been like, I probably missed, I really only missed one election, the 2001 election. But before that, I was working as an editor at the Sun, so even though I wasn't necessarily out on the campaign trail, I had a major role in the direction that our coverage took, and so I still consider myself, you know, having played an active role in those campaigns. So, I mean, really, my first campaign that I ever covered was 1983, Bill Bennett, when he won in 83. I played a sort of a tertiary role. I was just out of journalism school. I was working for Canadian Press at the time. And but the election, my first real big election where I was out sort of on the campaign trail every day, was in 86, and that was Bill Phil van der Zandt's astounding victory, where he was greeted, you know, like a rock star everywhere he went, and thousands of people, literally thousands of people showed up at his campaign stops. It's so different today, where, you know, Gordon Campbell goes someplace, he's lucky to get 50 people, and but back then it was completely different.
Now, you co-wrote a book on van der Zandt, didn't you?
Yes, with Keith Baldry, who was my partner in Victoria at the legislature with the Sun at the time. That was in the late 1880s. The book came out in 1988. It was called Fantasy Land, Inside the Reign of Bill van der Zandt. Keith, of course, is now the legislative bureau chief for Global TV.
Now, have you read van der Zandt's book, by the way?
I haven't, and I've been meaning to, because apparently he mentions me in a very nice way, so I was a little bit surprised by that, and some of my colleagues say that that's hurt my reputation, but I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
Now, are you finding that people aren't engaged with this campaign, that people aren't paying attention, and, I mean, do we just blame the playoffs on all this?
Well, I think the playoffs have something to do with it, to be honest with you. I mean, I wrote a column earlier a couple of weeks ago saying that, you know, with this fixed election date in May, every 4 years there's going to be an election held in the middle of the playoffs. And, of course, if the Canucks are in the playoffs, it's doubly worse in terms of trying to get people's attention. I think the springtime, to be honest with you, Joe, it's a difficult time to focus people's minds on something like an election. Because summer's right around the corner, people are worrying about their gardens and they're just really not thinking about politics, and then throw in the playoffs and it just makes it even worse. So I'm advocating that they move the fixed election day to the fall. I think fall is just a better time in the rhythm and cycle of people's lives, because, you know, people are returning to work, you know, kids are going back to school. I think generally people are in a much more serious frame of mind in the fall, maybe less distracted by other things, and could be more focused on something like an election. I think the other thing, is that with a fixed election date, there's just not the same kind of hype and build-up around the possibility of an election being called, which is what you get when you don't have fixed election dates. But, having said that, I think there's the benefits of a fixed election date outweigh the other, because I just think that you can, there's less politics involved and that sort of thing. So I'm in favor of it. I just don't think it should be held in the spring.
One of the stories that you mentioned that you've covered and broke in the Globe and Mail was this whole BC Rail thing. And Patrick Kinsella's role in that. You've written about him. The NDP are trying to bring his name up in the campaign. Do you think it's resonated with people?
I think it has to some extent. I'm not sure it's resonated deeply. I think that perhaps more than anything, it in some people's minds, it's confirmed the distrust that they have of Gordon Campbell. I think a lot of people think there's something terribly fishy about what went on, but the story is a complicated one. It's not easy to tell, and so people aren't completely 100% sure about what really happened. They just know that it kind of smells and it doesn't look good. But, you know, to this point, there's nothing that sort of implicates the premier directly in anything, any kind of wrongdoing. There's just sort of been these suggestions in court that Mr. Kinsella may have had a pipeline directly to the premier's office while working for BC Rail and CN, which was the successful bidder on the rail line. So, I think there's going to be some polling that comes out in the next day or two that actually shows that the BC Rail has had an impact on Campbell, a negative impact on him.
Now, you know the details of that case pretty well, more than, say, the regular voter.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know everything that went on, even at this point?
Oh, no. I mean, I don't know. Absolutely not. I mean, I know enough to know that I don't like what I know and what appears to be the case. Now, when this all happened in 2003, when it was actually sold, I was not covering politics at the time. I have gone back and looked at some of the debate around on, here's kind of the nuts and bolts of it. I mean, this is the way I look at it and think, no, something's not right about this. I mean, first of all, during the 2001 campaign, the premier says he's not going to sell BC Rail, okay, because the people in the north were adamant because there have been rumors that CN was really interested in this. Campbell says, nope, there's no way I'm going to sell it. He makes this promise during the campaign.
Right.
And then shortly after the campaign is over, Patrick Kinsella is hired by BC Rail to be sort of a quote-unquote advisor. Now, of course, we didn't even know this at the time. This has just come out recently. So they hire him, and then shortly after he's hired, the government announces it's going to renege on its promise, and it's going to sell BC Rail after all. And then they go through this process of selling, you know, BC Rail, and they have some other bidders in the process, like Omnitrax and CP and Burlington Northern. And these other bidders are going, like, what's going on here? Like, this thing is totally rigged in favor of CN. And sure enough, at the end of the day, CN is the winning bidder. Now, the chairman of CN Rail is David McLean, who is one of the premier's chief fundraisers. But also it's come out that Kinsella was working for CN. Now, he's working for the seller, and he's working for the winning bidder, and it's also come out that he's phoning the premier's office and possibly meeting with the premier and David McLean. I mean, it's just all, you mix it all together, and the appearance of horrible, horrible conflict of interest is staring you right in the face. And what makes matters even worse is that the premier won't talk about it, and Kinsella won't talk about it. Nobody wants to answer any questions, certainly until after this election is over, that's for sure. So, I mean, I know enough about it to know that it does not look good at all.
And when will we have a resolution? Because it's gone on for a long time. I mean, the raids on the legislature were, what, 4 years ago almost?
They were 5 years ago.
There you go. So, yeah. I mean, when will we know everything we need to know about this?
That's a very good question, Joe. I mean, we may never know anything, you know, everything that happened. I mean, there's still a possibility this court case may never get off the ground. I mean, they're still in pretrial motions. I mean, this thing drags on for another year, you know, before getting to trial. I mean, the defense may apply for a mistrial. I mean, today in court, the defense applied for emails of a bunch of MLAs who were in government at the time. And this thing is turning into Gordon Campbell's worst nightmare, because I think it's going to expose, more than anything else, sort of how government works, you know, how deal making works in government. And you know, you slap my back, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. I mean, that's sort of the nature of government, and we always assume that, but I think we're sort of really seen it, and there's names attached to it, and it's really ugly. I think this thing is just going to get uglier, a lot uglier, before it gets any better.
Well, being a premier is a big job, as Gordon Campbell said, so that's probably why but he said that in the debate to Carol James. Now, do you think that, you've written in your column that it was a patronizing comment.
Yeah.
Do you think the public believe that as well?
I think a lot of the public saw it as a really offensive comment. I think, again, I mean, Gordon Campbell, in every poll that has ever been done since he's become premier, has shown that there's a large segment of the public that just don't like the guy. They just don't find him natural. There's something very off-putting about him. And women in particular don't like Gordon Campbell. And I think after they heard that remark, there was a lot of women. If there were any women sitting on the fence about him, that certainly knocked them off the fence, in the camp of those who just don't like the guy. He's just, I mean, he's a hardworking guy, and I said this in my column the other day. And he's worked hard for the province, and he's put in a lot of work, and he knows the issues. And but you know, there's a side of him that I don't think he can relate to the average person, and that's what the great politicians can do. I mean, that's what. I mean, even if Obama wasn't a brilliant speaker, he'd still be a great politician because he can relate to the common person, and he can relate to the banker too. So Gordon Campbell can relate to the banker, but he can't relate to the common person, and I think that's a problem.
Well, how do you think the STV campaign is going? Do you think people are paying attention to that as well?
I don't, and I don't think it's going very well. In fact, I'm writing a column for Saturdays, sort of coming out in favor of it. I think it's a column that's a little bit too late, to be honest with you. I just wasn't caught up in the campaign, and I think like a lot of people, I was kind of put off by a lot of the pop propaganda around it, that it's just too complicated and blah, 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 and then I started looking into it, and it certainly can seem like a complex proposal, but you know, you kind of get bogged down with that, and you forget what it's for, and why the current system isn't good, and why we need to fix it. And I think there's going to be some polling numbers that come out tomorrow, which will show that the STV campaign is waning. I think their support for STV is going to be less than it was the last time.
Gary, I appreciate this, and it's been a pleasure having you on the program. We'll continue reading you in the paper.
Well, thanks very much, Joe. Thanks for asking me.
You're very welcome, and thank you. Globe and Mail columnist Gary Mason on the line. I'm Joseph Planta.